I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Goodness,
the one of one is missing.
I knew something was up.
Pop, that's almost twice as much going for the same price.
I just freaking love that Raider rookie logo.
Doing more buying.
Which one of these five quarterbacks has the worst set of pass catchers to throw the football to?
Guess how much I sniped this for an auction.
Number to five, you dirty animal.
I'm telling you, these optic on-card autos are money.
Let's go, Andy. Your biggest football card draft takeaway was what?
Whew, man. Well, you know, a lot of it is synergy between the players drafted, how that impacts the players that are currently on the roster, and then what the coaching staff is trying to tell us by drafting those players. There was a lot of takeaways. I think this situation with Shedeur Sanders going to the Cleveland Browns may be the biggest takeaway, because they drafted him in the fifth round. So he did get drafted, but it was so bizarre, especially when they take Dillon Gabriel in the end of the third round. It just really wild situation. Of course, his prices have suffered quite a bit, but at the same time, I'm not convinced. Like, I think he could potentially win out the starting job against Joe Flacco and this Dillon Gabriel and actually start a decent amount of the games, if not all the games this season. And maybe his values rebound and it's just all a big illusion. So I'd love to get your take on this Shedeur Sanders thing right here on the top of the show.
Yeah, so Dillon Gabriel was one of my plays of the week. And I thought he was going to get drafted higher than many thought, and he did. He went before Will Howard. He went before Shedeur Sanders. And Shedeur going there as well really hurts that for me, because I really like Dillon Gabriel as like a career decent starter, and that's all I was looking for, a guy that wasn't on pretty much anybody's draft radar or anybody's top five list. That's what I target, especially when I'm going after QBs. You know, Shedeur is interesting. We have a few people in the chat that were flipping Shedeur cards, Ryan being one of them. I think this will hurt his football cards, because he's just not going to start in the first year. And it is such an ambiguous, clogged QB room that I just don't see a path forward for him playing next year unless he just comes in and flat out beats out Dillon Gabriel. But DG was definitely the quarterback I like the most when it comes to just a football card perspective.
Yeah, you got to be careful about the spelling of his name. I actually just did it right now. A lot of people spell Dylan D-Y-L-A-N. I did that. That's not obviously not there, but there's a lot of – what I found was there was a lot of cards listed and sold under that spelling on eBay, and now I'm not seeing those. So it's important to get the correct D-I-L-L-O-N spelling here. But you could see it, a Bowman Inception, for example, refractor auto here, 22-24. This is a card that for Jackson Dart sold for close to $100 just this past weekend through the draft process. So the Dillon Gabriel cards, to your point, Carter, very cheap, still very cheap, not getting a ton of buy it now traction at all. Not like your guy that I want to talk about next.
Let's do
it. And that is Tyler Shaw. Am I saying that right? Shaw, show. How do you say that?
It rhymes with okay, let's see if we get there. It rhymes with one of the worst curse words you could say.
Oh. Shuh.
There you go. You got it, Tyler Shuck. You did Shuck. Good.
Shuck.
You did good. Huh? But yeah, let's talk some Tyler Shuck, Andy.
Well, I mean, I was shocked when he went off the board. We were all expecting, you know, the Shedeur Sanders draft selection, and then your Saints come in at the top of the second. Did they move up to get Shuck?
No,
they didn't move up, but they got him at the top of the second round, which was a surprising, you know, early day two pick. And of course, from when I'm looking at the data here, from before the draft to after, Tyler Shuck's cards have gone up a lot in value. A lot of people have bought in already as a response to this draft pick here.
Yes, and Andy, a big reason, he's probably going to start this year. If Derek Carr in particular is out of the picture, and I, even though there is a lot of financial incentives, I think Derek Carr burned another bridge. He preached a sermon this weekend that wasn't well received by Saints fans. I will say this as well. Derek Carr is the most unpopular quarterback maybe in NFL history. It is amazing what he has done to the Saints fans. So the Saints fans love them some Tyler Shuck because he said he would die on the field for the Saints. But there's also a faction of Saints fans that still want to see what Spencer Rattler can do. So it's not a story that Tyler Shuck will start, but I do think relatively early in the season, you will see him get some snaps.
Yeah, including our guy, Jonathan. You said some guys like to see what Spencer Rattler can do. Our buddy Jonathan here in the chat, he actually thinks Spencer Rattler is better than Tyler Shuck and will win out the starting job ultimately. But I do see here, like when you look at like his Tyler Shuck's overall profile, says he's got aggressive decision making and he's pretty snappy, like he's pretty scrappy out there. So I think that's an interesting dynamic to add to this Saints offense. But you know, just looking at the buy now data, I mean, look at these plus $100 transactions, whereas you go back to before the draft, I mean, this guy was not, I mean, look, so from April 18th, the Bowman U Chrome Prospect Auto out of $199, $56 in auction. And then as a result of the draft, that same card, $125.
Crazy.
So when you can get a quarterback that was originally, you know, projected to go somewhere between rounds 3 and 5 the weekend of the draft and moves up to the second, you get one of those autos. That's kind of what you're looking at, one of those college uniform autos there, you know, over doubled in value. Really nice sweet spot there for Tyler Shuck, and a great flip for a lot of guys out there on the quest.
We say hi to Arturo. We say hi to a few other Shedeur sellers. And Arturo says he pulled an uptown Saquon Barkley. There you go. Chad says, I have 3 PSA 10 Shedeur cards in the PSA vault. All auctions ended night of the draft for $65, and all 3 deadbeats haven't paid. Oh, man, that sucks. That really, yeah, really, really sucks. And it makes sense why they decided to not pay. It's still a crappy thing to do.
Yeah, that's one of the downsides of eBay auctions. You know, you don't have to put in your buying payment information before you bid. I think they're working to change that, but I'm sure there's a lot of nuance and litigation around that. But yeah, and so you have non-payers and you have to wait that it's like 3 to 5 business days before you can cancel on them due to non-payment. And it's not like that's really going to affect your value at this point of Shedeur Sanders, but yeah, that was the night to flip him on opening draft night, and now right, you're holding them. That's a big difference.
I want to get to my biggest takeaway from your vantage point, Andy. You don't sit and watch these guys as much as I do. It's my job to do this, so I'm not calling you out. I'm actually doing the opposite. I'm complimenting you, because this NFL draft had more to do with athleticism than it did you as an actual player. Okay. Your athleticism or your RAS score mattered. Okay. Let's take the Detroit Lions. They drafted a receiver out of Arkansas who didn't produce at all, but he's a freak athlete. Isaac Tesla out of Hillsdale in Arkansas, to obviously not big schools, but a guy like Xavier Restrepo, who had a lot of pre-draft hype, and he ran a 4.8 40-yard dash. Not a single NFL team wanted him. And he was a UDFA, got signed by the Titans, and he will join Cam Ward. So for me, a takeaway, and this is actually a deeper takeaway, is that I am going to look to see if RAS scores for like lower prospects can be predictive of football card success. Because Andy, you're always big at, before you make a football card buy, you check to see those athleticism scores.
Well, I love the athleticism score, especially for running backs and wide receivers, but particularly running backs, because there's not as much of a learning curve involved in you know, the finer aspects of route running and stuff at the NFL level versus a running back, where you can give him the ball, and if he's got a high level of athleticism and explosive ability, and you know, give him the ball, put the ball in his hands and let him do his thing, let him run people over, generate some insane highlights, and watch his cards explode in value. You know what I'm saying? Especially as a rookie, and we've got a deep class here, and I'm excited about a lot of these guys that I saw drafted based on their athleticism, some of these landing spots, and some guys in the NFL that won from the draft based on the lack of their team taking a running back and the team also bolstering the offensive line.
Andy, what are your thoughts on some of these ambiguous-ish running back pickups? Let's say someone like RJ Harvey, who had good athleticism scores, he goes to a good open backfield on a good team with a good offensive line in the Denver Broncos. There's a lot of people that are sharper than me that love them some RJ freaking Harvey. And maybe Sean Payton's just waiting for a running back to take a load of that backfield. So I'm very interested in your thoughts on him.
Yeah, RJ Harvey, I thought, was one of the top 10 winners of the draft here. He doesn't have a lot of cards either. You can see his Leaf Electric Optimal, 3 out of 6, $45 here. But I like this. I love this spot for RJ Harvey, because especially after they trade away Javonte Williams, this is a playoff team from last year. This is a team with Bo Nix that has sneaky athleticism. And when you look at RJ Harvey's athleticism combined, you know, with Bo Nix and the Sean Payton offense, I mean, it's a great fit. And there's like no depth chart competition really for him. I mean, he got Audric Estime, who had all the room in the world. He had the door completely open for him to take over, you know, snaps and route share, target share out of the backfield last year, and didn't do it. And so it's like RJ Harvey is going to step right in, and he could become like an RB1, like a top 12 running back in fantasy purpose this year with how little depth chart competition he's got in Denver. And I absolutely love this. The problem is, as you can see, his cards have gone up a lot in value.
Yeah.
Like Heroes and Prospects out of 99 that sold for $50 just yesterday. 3 out of 6 Leaf Collective 2 days ago for $92 on 30 bids. You don't see this kind of activity on these kind of Leaf cards without the landing spot. So it's like the secret is out on RJ Harvey here. And it's going to be, I would wait to get in. I'd actually be trying to get in on RJ Harvey when he's released in like the NFLPA rookie premiere sets that'll come out this summer. or try and pull them out of packs maybe of the early Panini releases before the season starts, because I feel like his prices are going to be high. They're going to stay high, and he's going to have a great rookie season with the Broncos.
We have a New York Knicks fan in here. You know, Jackson is feeling good about his life. Makes sense. NBA comment. He wants to talk about one of the taller players in this draft, Teritoria McMillan, going to the Panthers. Andy, I absolutely adore this landing spot for Tet, and I think him and Bryce are going to eat next year.
Well, that's the thing, yeah. And you get Bryce Young, another big body target here. Tet McMillan, he easily steps up as the alpha on this team. And the Panthers actually didn't trade back this draft. They spend a premium first-round pick on a quality wide receiver. Now, Tet McMillan's prices were already high. This is kind of like, I think, a little bit of a – this didn't add to his value like the Raiders selecting Ashton Jeanty. This really just kind of, you know, maintains his value right now. And I think a lot of people in the hobby are going to be wait and see and probably buy into Tet's, you know, NFL pro uniform market. So I would kind of pump the brakes on Tet McMillan's college uniform market at this point, but I would be making the play of, let me buy some Bryce Young. Let me go ahead and buy some Bryce Young. Silver Prism, PSA 10 market, as we looked, has gone up. But when you compare him to CJ Stroud and you compare him to the other guys in 2023, Anthony Richardson, you know, there's a lot of room for Bryce Young to make things happen this year. This is an interesting situation for him, and that would be the play that I make. Now, if you're looking for sleepers on the Panthers, Carter, Trevor Etienne, man. Trevor Etienne. Like, I get Chuba Hubbard's been decent, but Rico Dowdle he's not a threat. I think Trevor Etienne could be a sneaky play in this offense to steal a bunch of underneath targets and also steal a bunch of, like, home run hitting type running back plays this season.
Yeah, I still think, you know, we gave that play out. That's why it's so important to subscribe, ring the bell, and listen to every single episode. Andy, you know I miss, but when it comes to finding the diamonds, I could be cheap at times. Okay, especially now with my football card buying, I don't sell a whole lot. I just don't. So if I'm making a play, I'm looking for that real, real, real diamond. We gave you Trevor Etienne a few weeks ago, and Andy is Bowman first Florida Gator autos. We're going for $6, $7, $8 out the door. Shipping included. So I'm with you on Trevor Etienne. He's got juice.
Yeah, and his Etienne's cards are still going very cheap. I mean, as you can see here, we see the buy nows happening for Tet McMillan. We see the buy nows happening for a lot of other guys, but not really Etienne. I mean, because he enters a somewhat crowded depth chart. He's going to have to compete for touches and targets, and he's going to have to prove at the NFL level that, you know, he's related to his brother, and in a sense, and his brother didn't have a good rookie season, but that's, you know, I digress. But yeah, look how cheap his prices still are, and they're selling in auctions. So you could get a Bowman U Inception rookie auto here out of 75 for less than $10 out the door, or rated prospect, you know, Prism draft picks here auto out the door for less than $5. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, there's really no downside to that. And it gives you a lot of upside on a rookie player that could be electric.
I love the SIG switch up too. So we get the CeeDee Lamb-esque SIG right there on the rated rookie. And then in 2022, we get the jersey number tab. I don't mind an auto switch up. I really don't.
Speaking of CeeDee Lamb, man, I mean, I think CeeDee Lamb was a big winner in this draft. Dallas didn't spend any draft capital that I can think of on a wide receiver. They bolstered the offensive line. Dak Prescott is the highest paid quarterback. I was looking at this earlier. Dak Prescott's the highest paid quarterback on a average annual salary basis right now. And CeeDee Lamb, I think, is in line to get like 200 plus targets this year. And I mean, he seems like a big winner. And with how soured the Cowboys market has been over the past 6 months, I think CeeDee Lamb could be a solid, solid pickup right now.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I love CeeDee next year. I also love him in all fantasy formats. And I play them all, but I'm doing a lot of fast drafts. So you guys go sign up for Fast Draft Fantasy. Use my promo code Carter. You get a deposit match bonus up to $50. And go draft CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah, right now is my favorite time to do fast drafts. I've been hammering the fast drafts, man. I love them because I can get one in 15 minutes on my lunch break. And it's so much fun. And I put in the 50 using promo code Carter. I got an instant 50. I was stoked. So I'm getting like free money with the potential to win thousands this year. And right now, because the draft just ended, a lot of these rankings and the draft positions are all up in flux, just like a lot of rookie card values are. And we're able to capitalize if you're able to like decipher this, you know, code early here in the off season.
Yeah, it's kind of strange. So Player Profiler, who you love, they reached out and apparently I got to do I don't have to, but they asked me to do a breakdown of CeeDee Lamb from a fantasy standpoint. I think there's a real chance that he finishes as a wide receiver one. And that's coming from a Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson guy because of the target share. You know, this is the weakest pass catching group in the NFL outside of CeeDee Lamb. So Dak, you can say what you want about him. He's a high volume thrower. He is a high volume thrower. And the running backs in that room aren't worth the carries. They even drafted Andy, to me, the best receiving back in this draft, Jaden Blue. A receiving back, not a plower. So I'm very excited to see what CeeDee's going to do next year, and I'm probably going to play a few offensive player of the year bets on CeeDee as well. That's how high I think of him going into next year.
Yeah, some people have already bought Jadon Blue rookie cards. As you can see, this sold yesterday. I'm telling you, man, when a guy is a rookie drafted by a huge team like the Cowboys, there will be some guys out there that just go out on a limb and buy whatever's listed available, buy it now. That's why we speculate on these players and then relist them in buy it now format, because this Heroes and Prospects Leaf card out of 25 is a card you probably could have picked up from a variety of shows, from a variety of auctions for less than $10.
Right.
But now post-draft, is selling in a buy it now for Jadon Blue for $50.
Athleticism matters. You know, my guy was Damian Martinez. He's just not fast. He went to the 7th round, the Seahawks. Jadon Blue can scoot. And another thing that makes him interesting is if he breaks one, it's going to look like Jahmyr Gibbs. I mean, he is fluent in the open field. The problem is he's not as good as Jahmyr Gibbs. He can't run between his tackles. That's an issue playing running back, but he's good at a lot of other things. So I'm really excited to see what he's going to do next year. Potentially a somewhat slower version of Darren Sproles. But I think they're actually probably the same speed. So we'll see what happens. Andy, you know, it's interesting. We get this far, and we've not talked about either of the first round running backs.
When you said Jahmyr Gibbs, I immediately thought of Omarion Hampton, who went to the Chargers and just kind of poo pooed on some people's expectations for Najee Harris. But I think in this Harbaugh offense that there is enough to go around, and this is kind of like the thunder lightning combination that you have in Montgomery and Gibbs in Detroit. And they spend significant draft capital here in L.A. on a running back in Omarion Hampton. And he ended up being the guy that probably benefited the most in terms of price from before the draft to after at the running back position, because He just wasn't the Ashton Jeanty number one overall pick chalky play. Like everybody, so many people were in on the early quarterbacks and the Travis Hunters and the Ashton Jeantys here. Omario Hampton, in a lot of ways, went slightly under the radar in a deep running back class, but the landing spot here has been perfect and the draft capital is sweet.
Yeah, and part of why his pick went under the radar is because that was when the Shador mania was happening. So Steelers pass, then Hampton gets picked basically the next pick, and you know people are just talking about Shador. Hampton is a freaking unit. I mean, this is one of the most athletic size speed combos we've ever seen coming to the NFL as a rookie. I don't know. I'm with you on I still think Najee's going to be a pretty big piece, even though they're only paying him $5 million. But you know, I wasn't as high on him as some of the others in the draft community, but the people that love him, they freaking flat out love them some Omarion Hampton.
Look, and this is why I don't screw around with auctions right now. You had an Omarion Hampton yesterday, which I'm like, Monday, I get it. During the season, Monday's a great day to end an auction. Right now, when you have playoffs going on for two other major sports, NHL and NBA, right? And then you have baseball season in full swing, I would not be ending any football card auctions right now. There's an auction ended yesterday on Omarion Hampton, Bowman University first rookie auto out of $299, PSA 10, that closed with three bids for just $108 when you had a buy it now of the same exact card sell the same exact day at whenever the buyer chose to buy it for $180, almost 50% more profit in that guy's pocket on the buy it now than the auction.
Andy, let's chat Ashton Jeanty. You know, we're saving, you know, the big players here at the end. All right, we'll talk Cam Ward after this. Jeanty, your thoughts on officially the landing spot? You know, we talked about it on Friday, but man, dude, his football cards were just so astonishingly expensive before the draft, and going to the Raiders, one of the biggest fan bases, looking for some hope. Dude, people are going Jeanty crazy.
Yeah, you could almost get into more of a base market for Jeanty like you can for a lot of quarterbacks because of how expensive his rookie autos have gotten. The landing spot's phenomenal. The draft capital's phenomenal. You've got a bigger market base now in Las Vegas. And, I mean, the sky's the limit for Ashton Jeanty in 2025. And so I think I'm sticking with that take that he is 2025's Brock Bowers. He's just this, you know, super almost like viewed as a generational talent and with a very safe floor and a very high ceiling. And the expectations are already baked into his prices. So it is hard to get in. You could probably, though, make money on picking up a card like the Pink Lava non-serial numbered for $16 because it's a Bowman University Chrome first logo until you maybe get into some of his NFLPA rookie premier stuff. That would absolutely be a play if you can get those at retail prices from Panini's website when they drop. Problem is he's going to be the first guy that sells out and people are going to be trying to, everybody's going to be trying to get. So you really either have to get into something like this or you're going to pay a couple $100 for an auto and you like have a lot of collection value in that. So you're okay with maybe breaking even or only making a couple dollars profit because I don't see how that really goes up from now until the season starts because there's so much expectation already baked in to his auto prices. I think the play is to try and get lucky pulling Jeanty from a pack of early release, you know, Panini product that comes out later summer, like Legacy or Luminance or, you know, maybe even Prism draft picks and stuff like that that comes out or beginning of the season, or you're trying to get one of those Panini instants that's released on their website because, I mean, he's going to be extremely expensive otherwise.
Yeah, so Jonathan says, how does Jeanty affects Jacoby Myers? I don't think Ginty affects Jacoby Myers. It's everything else that the Raiders did in the draft. So they take Jack Besh, who I know, in the second round. And Jack Besh is basically Jacoby Myers. Obviously, Myers is shiftier and faster, but Besh is a slot receiver, a big slot, who can also play on the outside. Then the Raiders took two very interesting picks late. They took a few FCS quarterbacks who both run 4.3s. And then they took a receiver in Deontay Thornton, who is special athletically, but he, you know, he could only run a go basically in a stop. He's not nuanced, if you will. It's not really his game. So you can see Jack Besh's price are ridiculous.
They've gone up a lot, man. I mean, dude, people are buying Jack Besh from this draft pick here to the Raiders.
Unbelievable. Okay. Now, once again, I've interviewed Jack. I've known his family for a few years now. Great story. You know, people love a great story. You know, with his brother tragically dying, the New Orleans tragedy. And he's good. Like, I think he's going to be very, very good. But, Andy, in broadcasting, they call this a tease. My play of the week is the most screaming play of the week, and I've given it out in the last couple of weeks, and I am very shocked that this play of the week is still a viable play. Okay, we'll get to that in a second. But we got to talk Cam Ward, Andy. And we just do. Chad says, I made $250 on three Cam Ward Leaf autos on draft night. He said in total, he was in for them for $39 since 2022.
Oh, that's fantastic. I mean, yeah, his stock rose so much heading into the draft that if you bought him from well before, like I think really any point in 2024, especially the earlier the better, you're making money on his cards. He's got a lot of autos out there. He's got a few thousand different auto. I think the exact number was somewhere around 3,000, if I remember correctly, of different autograph cards that he's got, you know, from Leaf and Bowman and everything. But you could have bought the early college uniform cards. And look, when this is all you've got and your market consists of Bowman University Chrome and Leaf, I mean, Leaf is a viable product. I mean, it's a good, thick Chrome stock card that has some high quality to it. It looks great, and it's got an early autograph of these players, and people know who Leaf are. You know, of course, it's not going to stand up to a professional uniform autograph card, you know, that's going to lose value over time in that sense. But, you know, for right now, the window has been huge. So congrats to Chad. Great, great play here. Really good move.
Yeah, I'm interested. It's not really known if Cam is signed with like Fanatics or Panini. I've been checking. I actually haven't checked in the last 48 hours. So maybe someone can enlighten me as far as that is concerned. Because that's going to be big. It's just going to be big, especially in a weaker QB class. So there you go. All right, Andy. Hobby tip of the week. Let's hear it, brother.
Yo, hobby tip. I'm going to shout out my guy Jonathan here for this one. He had a great idea. And this is a good hobby tip we haven't talked about in a while. Like how to organize your collection, right? The cards you have in your portfolio that are sitting in your room, your office, your closet, wherever. And he recommends to organize them by team. I think that's a smart idea. I also like to organize them by player. That's my preferred way. But I get it. If you have a ton of players, then, you know, creating an index card for each player, you know, it could take you a while. But I do think it makes sense. Because then you can see the inventory you have for each player. And so that's actually, I think, a really handy way to manage your inventory organization, right? and you can see how much exposure you have to each player. You can see that you've got, well, I've got 15, for example, CJ Stroud. So I might want to thin that out a little bit and put some into Jaden Daniels or something like that. Or maybe I want to get some exposure to Anthony Richardson because I've got none. And there is some upside there for 2025. So I think it is important to organize your collection by team, by player, something like that. We do that on slabhawk.com, Carter. You can actually sync your eBay purchase history with slabhawk.com, and then it'll automatically import the cards you have into your collection here, and you can track how much exposure you have to different players. Actually, I have in here some exposure to Leonard Fournette, so I always have some exposure to Lenny. But yeah, you can see, oh crap, I've got 50% exposure to whoever it may be, Anthony Richardson, or I got 50% exposure to Saquon Barkley. I mean, that's a running back. I get, I mean, it's great, but there's a chance that's going to lose value over time faster than if you had more exposure to Josh Allen, for example. So just a really, important way to organize your collection, and think it's important to organize so you can manage it better.
Okay, hobby tip. I am going to keep it simple, Andy. I don't have one.
This is a good one. Hector's coming in clutch for you right here.
They sell binders for slabs?
Yeah, have you ever seen those?
No, I have not. Is it those, the thing that you put on the wall? Or you?
No.
Oh, okay. So no, it's
I'll show you one.
Yeah, but pull it up. No, I'm kidding. I actually do have a hobby tip of the week. I think the best thing for you to do when it comes to your card supplies is keep them all in one spot and remember exactly where they all are in one spot. I keep this box over here full of just backup supplies. The non-negotiables for me, Andy, when it comes to card supplies, penny sleeves and top loaders. You should always have at least one unopened pack of top loaders that you know at all times, and one unopened pack of penny sleeves that you know where they are at all times. Everything else is helpful. One touches, if that's your thing, sure. But I lost all these penny sleeves and top loaders, but I knew that I had a spot where I always keep a backup, and I sold one of my Bryce Young Silvers yesterday. So I wanted to put that Bryce Young Silver in a nicer top loader. So I am not the most organized person. It's really hurt me in so many different ways, but always have that one spot. Now let me look at the binders again. I guess.
Oh yeah. Hold on. Let me go back to binders. Yeah, I've seen these at shows. I think they're really, really smart to have these, especially as you get more graded cards, because I think binders are just such a fun way to view your collection, organize your collection. Obviously, grading's the best way to protect and authenticate your collection. So yeah, look at these binders. So you can have all your slabs in a binder, you know, separated by pages and all that good stuff.
Look at that.
Yeah. Three, six slabs per page. $53 here on eBay. And they sell stuff like this at, I think there's even something at Walmart from what I saw just on Google. There's something at Walmart for $65, but it's smaller. So I like having, this is the one I've seen. It had four slabs per page. I like this one that has six slabs per page a little bit better.
Let's go.
Yeah. 60 graded cards. I mean, that's significant.
Let's go to Chad. He makes a good point. We've not seen prices spike due to tariffs yet. So I would go get penny sleeves and top loaders. Bottom line. I would
back up.
I'm probably gonna buy at least two more things of top loaders. Now it depends how much you rip, right? I don't rip a whole lot, hardly ever. But if you rip a bunch, you should probably think about having three or four extra top loaders at all times. So there you go. Now, Rage 508 makes a good point. The thing about the slab binder is all it takes is one person to take the whole binder. You know, if you have them, but I guess you could say the same if they were in a case. I don't know.
Yeah, you could say the same for anything. I mean, if you go watch my card show, my daughter was like, if you didn't secure your cards, you could drop a card on accident. I mean, you got to just be conscious of where your stuff, you know, bring a book bag, put it in the book bag. And if you're extra paranoid, put one of those little locks on your book bag, a little combination lock. So someone really had to go through some serious trouble to get it. By that time, you would realize it, and you could deck them in the face.
Deck, there you go.
If you're like me and you got your little GoPro and you're filming, then you just whack them in the head with the GoPro.
So we mentioned Bryce Young. Are there any other players not drafted that aren't rookies that you think are interesting plays or something you found to be fascinating, Andy?
Oh, yeah. We got a whole list. I was actually working on this video yesterday, and I was working with our buddy Jonathan. And, we got a whole list. Of course, Trevor Lawrence has gone up a ton. You know, people are back in that market like crazy. Geno Smith has gone up a little bit, but still – look, I've refreshed it now. You got a new Panini Black, buy it now, sold this morning out of 10. Rookie auto out of 10 that sold for $70. I mean, this is crazy. Geno Smith market is very cheap because he is such a veteran, an average veteran, if you will. But this year, a great opportunity here with the Raiders and a lot of new weapons added. A lot of people think, you know, with the run game and the tight end and the wide receivers this year, Geno could exceed his performance that he had with the Seahawks and really make a good run here with the Raiders. And so you got a lot of people buying back in, but it's still very cheap. All things considered, like the Geno Smith market is still cheap, right? $5 rookie refractor. I mean, that's cheap, man.
All right, so this is interesting. Keep trucking. I want to know about Caitlin Clark's prices. I'm not joking. I'm a huge Caitlin Angel fan of that draft class. This is a football card show, so I don't know anything about Caitlin Clark's card market, but that's why I'm asking. So please shoot me a message, Card of the Power, on Twitter or Instagram. We don't need to look that up for right now. Hector says Brock Bowers is about to go off with old Geno Smith. I agree. I think Brock's going to have a massive, massive, massive year.
That's true. He's an upgrade. Geno's an upgrade from Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew.
Yeah.
Of yesteryear.
But yeah, I'm interested in Caitlin Clark. Okay. Now, Andy, I want, we got a Jaden up. We seen a little dip in Jaden.
Well, it's not really a dip. It's more of an illusion. It's more of a hobby tip because this, when you look at a chart like this and you're thinking, oh man, well, Jaden's at a value, his base Donruss PSA 10, currently an average of $55. You would think some of you may think it's a value just looking at the chart, like the reaction you just had. But if you go back and you like want to understand why, that's because these cards going for $300 were A, in the playoffs, and B, most importantly, these were when the card set had just been released about a month to a month and a half prior, and these are the very first graded cards coming back from that set. So there's always a huge, huge price increase. You can see this in CJ Stroud. You can see this in virtually all players. The very first graded cards that come back from new sets are going to typically sell for this astronomically higher price than any other card. So it is important to take advantage of new set hype and new graded card hype from new sets. I mean, that is a very big, big opportunity in the market. It's a play for virtually all relevant players. And you can capitalize on sets like base Donruss when, you know, the grade rates are pretty high.
What chance is Mac Jones? One of these went for 2K.
Yeah.
For McCorkle.
This is true. 2021 was the peak hype period for the ultra-modern sports card boom, and Mac Jones was the epitome of that because he had a couple good games early on for the Patriots, and people in New England thought he was the next Tom Brady, and his base Donruss was all that was out in his pro uniform, and that rated rookie logo, and those first PSA 10s that came back sold for like 2K. No kidding. Chad is right on point here. He's been around for a while. That was insane.
Yeah. I had another hobby tip before I get play of the week here. I do think if you really paid attention to the draft, they are hammering the international angle, right? So it's going to be interesting to see how big the NFL gets internationally. I think it could get so big because so many of the games are played during the day. And in particular, Europe, that is nighttime for them. So I do think the NFL has a bright future overseas. And I think that could translate over to football cards. You know, a top 10 viewer is Jonathan. He's in England, you know, Eagle Sports Cards. So it's just something to keep in mind. All right, Andy, this play of the week, this I kind of want to put my money where my mouth is because I always say I'm just giving you plays. I don't like doing the prospecting. I mostly just do collecting, but I find it to be fascinating. Andy, let me ask you this. What state in the 50 United States is the only one that has parishes and is the only one that produces wide receivers at an extremely high clip in the NFL?
It's got to be Louisiana.
It's Louisiana. Okay. What if I told you a wide receiver who Malik Nabers once said is the most talented teammate he's potentially ever had went in the second round? And his autos are still going for under $20, okay? It's the same Malik Nabers that played with Jaden Daniels, Malik Nabers that played with Brian Thomas Jr. And what if I told you he went in the second round to a wide receiver room that's wide open? He went to the second round to a wide receiver room that has a top 10 quarterback connected to it, all right? And his name is Trey Harris. I am shocked. I was perplexed this morning, and Andy, I'm going to share my screen for the first time. Okay, that Trey freaking Harris autos. I understand not a whole lot of people like Sage. I get that, but Andy, he doesn't have a whole lot of autos. Okay, these are cheap for this guy. This guy can flat out play. Bottom line. I understand there is rich injury history with Trey Harris. I understand he's not the same level of athlete as a Malik or a Brian Thomas Jr., but just trust me on this. The dude can flat out play. Now, you can see these Electrum, that's a one of one, though, and this is number 2-5, but this is a kind of guy that I like to target. You know, weird rookie card market, no Bowman cards out there, an injured player, quiet personality, but he's from Louisiana. And that's been one of the biggest predictors of success, whether you go to LSU or not. You know, CeeDee Lamb, we were talking about him earlier today. He didn't go to LSU. He's from Opelousas. So I'm a big Trey Harris believer. He's my number one wide receiver drafted on Drafters and Underdog and everywhere else I've drafted up to this point. I really do think he's gonna be big, and he fits in nicely with Ladd McConkey and Justin Herbert in LA.
Mm. Yeah, that's a great play, man. I like that. I like that a lot.
And one more thing. Hector, he says, so Hector just joined us. We talked about Jack Besh a little bit earlier. So you saw Jack Besh's prices for that same Sage card was in the 50s. Okay, it was in the 50s. The same exact auto. Trey Harris for $11. $11. And Andy, like I said, I've gotten to know Jack. He's been on my channel before. A great guy. And he's going to be a great pro. Trey Harris was better in college than Jack Besh. Trey Harris had one of the best yards per route run in the history of college football. The highest ever scored by fantasy points data. And I get him with Justin Herbert and a wide receiver room that only has Ladd McConkey in it. You think Herbert wants to throw the football to Quentin Johnston anymore? Josh Palmer out the door? This is lunacy to me that Trey Harris is that cheap. Lunacy.
Lunacy.
And I've given him out as a play before. I'm doubling down because his prices haven't skyrocketed yet. Duke can play. Be ready.
Yeah, that's a slick play, man. I dig it because, you know, I'm looking at the Chargers depth chart. Yeah, I like Ladd McConkey a lot. And really, really solid rookie season there with upside heading into the second season. But his cards are really expensive, and you kind of want to attack this team because this team has a lot of upside as a whole. And like, I'm still not a Quentin Johnson believer. And I think Trey Harris can beat him out. And then Mike Williams, come on. I mean, that guy's dust, as dusty as can get. And yeah, I see your boy Trey Harris here stepping up as a 1B to Ladd McConkey. That's a nice spot to be in for the Los Angeles Chargers.
All right, before you give your play, Andy, okay. We did not talk about Matthew Golden. So really quickly, your thoughts on Golden and the weirdest wide receiver room in the history of the NFL.
Yeah, I know. This is a deep wide receiver room. You got a lot of talents. I think ultimately the play should be on Jordan Love. I was looking at Matthew Golden's sales. They have gone up, certainly from where he was at before the draft. Nothing crazy, because I think it's hard to kind of picture how he fits in other than, yeah, they're going to be aggressive. He's going to have these spike games. But, I mean, this is a lot of target competition on this team. You know, Dontavian Wicks, you had Jaden Reed, who broke out last year, Christian Watson, who's still an aggressive threat. He just has a lot of injury concerns. And it's like, man, he's stepping into a crowded depth chart. But, I mean, the guy's electric. So, I mean, ultimately, I'm looking at Jordan Love as the play to make. And then let's see where things shake out on this depth chart and maybe get into the Matthew Golden market later in the year when we have that midseason dip.
You want to get really spicy right now, Andy? Do you want to get really spicy? What if Matthew Golden's not the best rookie receiver they brought in?
Interesting.
They drafted Savion Williams, okay? So he played alongside Jack Besh at TCU. And Savion, like Golden, freak athlete. All right? Golden ran that 4.29. Savion is a freaking unit. I could see them, you know, giving them some behind the line of scrimmage snaps as well. That wide receiver room is just a mess, dude. And the weird thing about that wide receiver room is out of everybody that's in that room, the guy that I actually like the most is Tucker Kraft. I think he is a special tight end. But, you know, you also got Musgrave there, and then you also got to feed Josh Jacobs, and, you know, Jordan Love can be hit or miss. So, you know, as far as Golden is concerned, do I think he's better than Savion Williams? I do. But I found that interesting that the Packers made that draft pick as well.
All right, Andy. Yeah, that is interesting. That definitely tells us something about how they feel about their existing wide receiver room, and that, you know, they definitely need to deploy. So that could really shake things up this year. Ultimately, I think that's bullish on Jordan Love, and with his prices being lower than Jalen Hurts and Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert, I think Love is the play to make right now.
All right, play of the week.
But my play of the week This is one Jonathan and I were talking about yesterday. I absolutely love this play. It's Ricky Pearsall on the San Francisco 49ers. Because pro uniforms, 49ers, huge market. You know, the guy got shot last year. He lost significant playing time as a rookie. There was also a lot of target competition with Debo Samuel. I mean, he was used sparingly when he returned from the injury. But week 17, you know, the guy, 147 yards, electric the ball in his hands. If you look at the Silver Prism PSA 10, current average right now is pretty steady. Only a population of 33. Buy it now is at $80. And if you would compare that to Brian Thomas Jr., you're going to see a significantly lower value here on Ricky Pearsall. And they didn't, the 49ers didn't draft a significant receiver. So I think if Purdy returns to his form, you get Brandon Ayuk healthy, I think Pearsall all of a sudden steps up in a big way in his second year and becomes that, you know, first round rookie that they drafted him for. And I could easily see him get to the values of Brian Thomas Jr. and with the market of the 49ers. And I think what we're going to see is an easy opening schedule for the 49ers. I think this could be an early season win for guys who stock up on Ricky Pearsall. At the stage. There we go. And you could get his Silver Prism rookie auto for $50. That's also half of what Brian Thomas Jr.'s are selling for as well. I think he's a good comparison to make, especially now when you add in the fact that Travis Hunter is on. In terms of right wide receiver 1B, I mean, are you expecting Brian Thomas Jr. to become the 1B now to Travis Hunter?
No, come on. Come on. I think Travis Hunter's special, but Andy BTJ's film blew me away last year. Like, I don't think people realize how much Trevor sucking hurt BTJ last year. I mean, the dude was getting wide the frick open, and Trevor couldn't hit the broadside of the barn. That's part of the reason why I'm not buying into the Jaguars hype, even with Cohen coming in. Trevor was bad last year, and I understand history is pointing favorably to number one overall quarterback who sucked early in his career becoming actually good. We've seen that with Goff. We've obviously seen that with Baker Mayfield. We've seen that with Bryce Young kind of sort of last year. So I do think Trevor will be better. It's kind of hard for him not to. I mean, obviously, we're both big tooting guys. But, you know, with Pearsall, it's interesting, Andy, because you're a big Brandon Ayuk guy, right?
Yeah, I still think Brandon Ayuk is the 1A on this team.
And then, so this is what's interesting. All right, market dynamics at play here. Underdog ADP, Juwan Jennings is going before both of these guys.
Wow. That shows you the strength of recency bias because of the way Juwan Jennings emerged last year.
And then you still have McCaffrey.
Yeah.
And Garindo, but that shouldn't affect Pearsall per se.
I think you have a whole shakeup in this roster this year because you're gonna get Ayuk back healthy. You're gonna now have Pearsall a full, you know, season removed from this injury last year, and also like starting now, okay, I'm grown up here. Now I'm second year in the NFL. It's time to be serious about this whole thing. And I think it's just a totally different landscape this season for the 49ers. And I think you're going to see like this team revitalize in a lot of ways. And I think that's going to shake up the depth chart.
Let's go to Hector's comment. He says, it's hard to fall in love with the position players again. My brain is QBs only, QBs only. Wow. And you know what, Hector? I obviously disagree with that, but as my football card quest has, I guess you could say, matured, I have moved more to the QB-only mindset. But I just love football, all the intricacies of it so much that, you know, I still collect and buy all the positions, but I totally get that. I mean, that's 75% of all football card buyers. They're literally only QBs and Jamar, Justin, and Micah Parsons and a few other stars. But I get that. I totally get that.
If QBs, then you probably want to be like the chalky play right now to make would be Drake May, but early offseason. I mean, they bolster the offensive line. They draft friggin' Travion Henderson. They draft Kyle Williams. So they've strengthened the O-line, strengthened the wide receiver. They also added Stephon Diggs. And the addition of Henderson and Kyle Williams frees Diggs up even more as a deep threat. So it's like, okay, this is a very interesting situation for Drake May. He's going to have more time in the backfield, more options in his reads, and they could easily explode out of the gate and go 3-0. You're going to see Drake May's prices go through the roof. I mean, he's cheaper right now than Bo Nix. He's cheaper than Bo Nix. Obviously, everybody's cheaper than Jaden Daniels, but, you know, you have Drake May more in line with, like, Michael Penix and J.J. McCarthy, and Caleb Williams is right around Bo Nix too. So, you know, when you compare all those guys together, you can easily see why Drake May is the second year quarterback right now to buy.
And it might be smart to buy him now because the Patriots are going to have a somewhat favorable schedule because of how bad they were last year. And if Drake May has an easy start to his schedule with Vrabel and everything that they added, he could skyrocket after week one or week two. Because these second-year quarterbacks, dude, they can fluctuate really quickly. Because collectors are still trying to figure out who the guys are. And I think most people agree Jaden is the top of the mountain. But May or Caleb could easily surpass Bo Nix next year. I just think by the end of next year, Drake May will be the clear-cut QB2 in this class. Okay? But there's good news. If you have bought any of these guys in the rookie draft class, it is rare that you get to this point in only year two. Andy, all six of the rookie year two quarterbacks going into next year have not good, not great, but elite talent surrounding them now. All of them do. So you could still argue May still has the least. But if you think Will Campbell and Travion Henderson are good, I do. I think Ramondre is still good. All six of these quarterbacks should succeed. There's no excuses, you know, next year, in particular for Caleb.
Yeah, in particular for Caleb. Dude, check out this grade rate on this Optic Pandora. Let me go back to it. It's like 45 windows open. Okay, the Optic Preview Red Pandora for Drake May that came out in Donruss last season. It's 63% grade rate of raw to PSA 10. That is an absolutely insane. That's so high. That's incredible. And look at where they were, 283 in playoff time period, like right there in that hot period. Even had a $380 auction Jan 13, 250 buy it now. And now, like, yeah, you had a little bit of a spike here from the draft at from like an average of 165 to 170 to 170 to 200, you know. But look, Sunday 170, buy it now. That's a great deal. And then you can find them raw for $75, $80. So, yeah, I would be going for either the raw or the PSA 10 here. Of this card, I think it's a great card with grading upside, as you can see from the data. I mean, some great upside in the grading opportunities here on this card. Oh, look, $65 OBO right there. Bingo.
Don't forget NFL schedule release, not this week, but the next, May 14th. Okay. Big, big, big day. Because as we all know, the first month, prices still go up for teams that are winning, but then after that first month, things do tend to dip. That's been the case over the past couple of years. So we'll see. Hector's still high on Caleb Donut, 6, Caleb isn't doing anything in that division.
It's going to be tough, but I like Ben Johnson. I like the chances of them getting into a lot of shootouts, and the defense for the Bears was pretty good last year, so I'm not counting the Bears out by any means. I think the Bears are a really interesting team with upside this year. But there, you know, the win-loss record of quarterbacks is a very strong correlation there. So I wouldn't be surprised necessarily if Caleb Williams has a negative win-loss record, like a below 500 win-loss record, and his cards dip in value, even if he is performing well from like an accuracy EPA standpoint kind of thing. I still think that his values would dip if that division is just crushing them. And you get to like the end of October, November, we see that'll happen a lot. Now he may surge in the end of the season and make the playoffs, but that would be the time period to then buy Caleb Williams and then flip him the upcoming playoffs or then upcoming the next season heading into the season. Like he's going to have a lot of hype heading into this season.
Okay. Andy, I got bad news for you, man.
Yeah, bro.
Do you want to know that we have not discussed the young 24-year-old just came on the scene in the world of football during this draft weekend? We have not talked about the one that has generated the most buzz more than anyone else. Okay. And I will reveal who that is. Do you know who I'm talking about? Do you have any idea?
I could guess because I have a lot of guys that we didn't talk about.
Yeah. Well, give it your best guess. The one person who has shaken up the world of football, young 20s, it's not Shador. It's not Cam Ward.
Is it Cam Scadabo drafted by the Giants?
We actually haven't talked Scadabo today. It is not.
We didn't talk Scadabo. I mean,
I'm sharing my screen. We
talked about the Bucs wide receiver room. Give me a round. Give me a hint.
Undrafted.
Oh, undrafted.
All right, I'm sharing my screen. I'm revealing who it is right now.
Yeah, undrafted.
Bill Belichick's girlfriend. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, she said no. I remember like I saw an interview where they're like, how'd you guys meet? And she was like, I don't want to talk about that. Bill's just like, I'm doing what's best for me. Yeah, I'm doing what's best for me, guys. I'm living my best life. You go, Bill.
I didn't know Bill's game.
But, Bill's got game, right? Bill's got serious game.
But the reason why I shared this is because NFL teams know everything there is to know about you. This is why they did not want to hire Bill Belichick. Okay. Yeah, she's dictating CBS 60 minute interviews.
Yeah.
Are you freaking kidding me? So I share that because NFL teams know so much about stuff that you would never even think to know. And it's funny because I wonder what our Patriot viewers, how they feel in the chat about this. I mean, look at this. I mean, what are we doing? What are we doing? Huh?
I don't know, but I mean, Bill Belichick's a good investment from a card standpoint.
You think so?
I mean, because he hasn't autoed much stuff. So, like, oh, here, let me add to say, like, if you have something from Bill Belichick, like auto, for example, PSA DNA certified, his autograph is not even like a cursive signature. It's not like it's just like printed. He just wrote his name on the back of the card. I wonder if that's his actual auto. I know some people that their autos are like they're printed, they just print their name. But this card sold for $800 freaking dollars here. And it's a card of him from 1991 Pro Line when he was one of the coaches for the Cleveland Browns. And this card sold for $800 in a buy it now back in October, at the end of October.
Let's go to Lawrence. Every time I check your videos, it says I need to be a member. Well, I think some of the videos you do, Andy, are member-only videos. But no, this is free. I think.
Yeah, this is free. Yeah, subscribe to the channel. Put out a lot of free content. We do. Yeah, I do put out some Patreon exclusive content that I also put out for YouTube members, so you can access it as a YouTube member, or you can access it on your Patreon feed. And Patreon's cool because I also put out a written article every week on there exclusive to paid members, and then the Discord server, and we do some other stuff in there as well with members only hosted fantasy football leagues and all kinds of stuff. I'm trying to get back into like the breaking, the group submissions. I used to do a lot more before things got, you know, crazy in my life. But we're getting back to some of the premium services that we used to offer as well. And yeah, I still put out members only exclusive content every week. But we put out a ton of free stuff as well right here on YouTube. All you have to do is subscribe.
All right, y'all. We'll talk to you next week. Peace.
Appreciate you guys.